Okay, Chevra, we are going to continue our highlights of Daf Yomi, and today we will cover Psachim Daf Zayin. The Gemara really begins on Daf Vav Amud Beis, where the Gemara tells us a story, where the Gemara teaches us a halacha, the Habodek Sarshi Yevatel, that you have to do Bitul Chameit after the Bedika. The Rishonim comment that you're supposed to do the Bitul Chameit right after the Bedika. The Gemara has a question, why exactly am I doing the Bitul chametz, if it's because of pirum, if it's because of some crumbs that remain, the Gemara says that can't be because the pirum in the bottle automatically. So therefore, there's no need for bitul chametz on the pirum. Don't tell me it's because the pirum or nishmar agav beisay, the fact that these crumbs are protected because of the house, because we see from the halachos of ma'asros and the like that nishmar agav beisay does not help. Rather, the Gemara says that the reason for the bitul chametz is because that maybe a person is going to find a gluska yafe and daite ilave, meaning the person will find a nice cake or the like, and the person will delay for a moment and say, you know what, maybe I really want it, and he won't be mevatel it right away. And in that moment, the person will be in violation of the iser of ownership of chametz. That's what the Gemara says. We're really concerned that the person's going to find this gluska yafe after the zman has arrived, that you can no longer be mevatel the chametz. Shnei dvarim ein b'shus ha'adam, you can't be mevatel the chametz after the time that the issa sets in, and we're concerned as well that maybe you'll find that gluska yafe at that moment. So there's just a few points that are worth mentioning. On this Gemara, the Gemara says that you're supposed to do the bittul right after the bedika. Our practice, based on the Rosh and Siman Tes and the Mefrash, is that we do bittul a second time also when we burn the chametz. It's interesting because the Gemara says, well, maybe you should do bittul at the third hour, the fourth hour, fifth hour. The Gemara says, no, you can only do the bittul at a particular time, because the Rosh Hashanah word Dilma Pasha. Apparently Rashi in this Tshuva is saying that since you are burning the chametz at that moment, so the concern of Dilma Pasha does not really apply. When it comes to this issue, the peirurin of the crumbs, for which the Gemara doesn't say, for which the Gemara says you do not have to do bittul, the Achrayim have a lengthy discussion as to whether you actually violate Bayira Bayimatsi on crumbs. Is there a din of chatzi shir asur min haTorah by stuff which is not a food item when there's no shir to be mitzarif? There's no din of kedei achilas pras and the like. Whether there's a din of chatzi shir is asur min haTorah or not, the simple reading of the Gemara is that there would be a violation of ayirah bayimatzei on these peirurim. Do you have to do bedikas chametz on the peirurim? So that's also a discussion in the Achronim. Again, if bedikas chametz is because you might come to eat it, the pashta says, like the Rush writes over here in Siman Tes, we're not really worried that you're going to eat the peirurin. My understanding is that the majority of poskim assume that there's no real mitzvah of bedikas chametz on the peirurin. You don't really have to check your svarim, etc. When we talk about the bitul chametz, you know there's a machlokes between Rashi and the Tosis on Daf Dalet on the base as well as the bitul chametz is a din of establishing that this is hefker, that you are affirming that which the Torah said. Or do I assume that bitul chametz is, the first opinion is I'm establishing that's garnished, it's nothing, I'm affirming what the Torah says. The second opinion is that bitul chametz is mitores hefker. Of course, according to the opinion that bitul chametz is mitores hefker, so then really you should have to audibilize the bedikas, the bitul chametz, you should have to say it. In fact, the Ritva writes that you really do have to say it. When the Gemara is a lashon that it is believed, that just means that you could say it quietly, you could say it softly. If it's midin hefker, although ordinarily hefker requires three people, this type of hefker we allow with less than three people, although ordinarily you should not be mafker something on Shabbos. But over here, we allow you to be mafker it on Shabbos. The Gemara on Zayin Amar Aleph talks about an Erev Pesach Shachalios B'Shabbos, that you do the bitul chametz. That is Araya that you're allowed to be mafkir on Shabbos, but again, it could be that the hefker of Bedikas Chometz is a different type of hefker. It's not as, it is hefker, but we have certain kulas that we put into place that we allow you to do it on Shabbos as well. This expression of the Rishonim of Rashi that Bittul Chametz is a kiyum of Tashbisu, that's also found in the Rambam, of course, and that's also found in the Targum Unklus, where the Targum translates that Tashbisu basically means Tiva Arum. According to this Shita, that it's a din of beer, so you don't really have to be so nervous when you're doing the Bittul Chametz that we do at the Zman of the Sreifa. You don't have to be so nervous that you'll have to wait until the stuff is almost completely burned entirely. You could do the Bittul Chametz at the beginning of the burning, because L'maisa Mali Bittul, in the sense of I'm fulfilling Tashbisu with the burning, Mali, if I'm fulfilling Tashbisu, I just say it. Obviously, there's a hither to try to burn it, but even if you say it too early, it's not the biggest deal. That seems to be what emerges from this sugya. The Gemara on Zayin Amir Aleph says, if we're talking about Bittul Chametz, so how can there be a case that someone on a yontif is sitting in front of his Rebbe and he's going to be Mevatel L'chametz? It's yontif already. How can he be Mevatel L'chametz? The Isser already set in. So the Gemara answers, the case is that the item has not yet become chametz. The guy's listening to his Rebbe shir. It's not respectful to pick up and leave the shir and go and bake the bread to make sure it doesn't become chametz. So therefore, you do the bittul at that point. Apparently, you would not be able to do this trick, unless there's like the element of kavod harav. It's a little bit difficult in Shulchan Aruch. This thing is quoted without that element of kavod harav. There's the next sugya that comes up on Zayin Amud Aleph in terms of pas she'ifsha. The Gemara first says that pas she'ifsha, you follow rov. If you have a really moldy piece of bread, if rov of it is matzah, so then you assume it's matzah. Rov is chametz, you assume it's chametz. The Gemara says that can't be. It can't be that's mamish, a moldy piece of chametz, and it couldn't be bottle. Rather, the Gemara says we're talking about rov yamim. If most of the days have passed by, that it certainly is matzah days, so then you can assume that it is matzah, even though it looks all rotted, it looks like it came from a very long time ago. Nonetheless, we'll say, you know what, probably it rotted because you threw a lot of hapita in, you throw the hapita and it gets like moldy very quickly. So therefore, the din of pas she'ifsha is based on the all the days that passed by. In the context of the Gemara says that we follow Basra, that we follow the last one. That seems to be the conclusion of the Gemara, that we always follow Basra, we bring rayas from Yerushalayim, etc. With the Maisa Meiser, those rayas are brought up in the Gemara. Now, Rabbi Elchanano has an interesting comment. Rabbi Elchanano says that when I say you follow Basra, that's not true on the level of the Oraisa. Our Gemara is only talking about after Pesach has passed. And the only shayla relates to the question of chametz shavarlo for Pesach, which is a din d'rabbanan the way we paskin. So then we'll say azal basar basra. Although the Gemara has the din of azal basar basra with respect to the mos in Yerushalayim, whether it's mais or achulin, etc., right? But that issue in the Gemara, yes, there is a din d'oraisa, but that's lahachmir. But to say nezal basar basra lahakel, that we are not going to say. The last point in the Gemara, Zayin Amud Aleph, going over to Amud Beis, is that Habodek Tzarech Sheyavarech. There's a chiddush that you make the bracha, the Bedikas Chametz, even though the bracha I make is Abir Chametz, I make the bracha at this man, the Bedika. But there's a machlokas, Rav Papi and Rav Papa in the Gemara, as to when the text of the bracha is Liva Er or Al Bi'ur, which is the proper text. The text has to be lahabad, has to be in the future. We have a rule that kol mitzvos mevarchem aleihem over la'asiyos, and before you do the mitzvah, there are three different psukim that we prove that over means before you do the mitzvah. The question is, what does the word al be or mean? Does it mean future tense, or does it mean past tense? The Gemara first tries to bring a raya from Mila that we make the bracha al hamila. Gemara says, no, that's not a raya, because there you can't say lamo, because lamo would sound like I have to do the mila. The moyo doesn't have to do the mila. The father has to do the mila. And enochanami, at that point in the Gemara, saying if the father does the mila, the father would recite the bracha lamo. Similarly, by shchita, the same type of idea. The Gemara says by the shchita of Pesach, so then you have to do it yourself. Then maybe you should say l'shchot, but when someone who does not have to shech does the shchita, then you say al hashchita. Now, according to Rashi, once the Gemara concludes l'halacha that the bracha is al bir chametz, that the word al also means the future, so therefore we no longer have the bracha of le at all. It doesn't matter if the father is doing the mila or the owner of the Korban Pesach is shechting. No matter what, the bracha is al hashchita. The Rambam and the Meiri, however, assume that those distinctions that were made earlier in the Gemara actually exist even in the Maskan of the Gemara. The Gemara's conclusion is that we make the bracha of al, with the exception of, you make brachas, excuse me, with the exception of the bracha of tevila. The bracha of tevila, according to Rashi, you're talking about the tevila of Baal Keri. You can't make the bracha beforehand. Perhaps you're dirty or something, or maybe you can't learn. You can't make the bracha at that point. Taisa says we're only talking about bracha of tevilas hager, but because of the bracha of tevilas hager, somehow the practice developed. And whenever you go to the mikvah, you recite the bracha after that. We don't do over la'asiyasan, right? The way Tosis phrases is that don't scream at the women who make the bracha after they go to the mikvah, even though technically it should only be a din by the bracha of tevilas hager. There's machlokas between the Rambam and the Arzarua. The Rambam paskins that you are not allowed to make the bracha after the mitzvah is done. The Arzarua disagrees. And of course, this is also relevant in terms of going through the sugyas over here in Dav Zayin. This is just a summary of some of the highlights that come up in Pesachim Dav Zayin.